The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
It is the Box Score Breakdown. Today, Tuesday the 22nd of December 2020. It's opening night. We've got to be excited for that. Better late than never. Better late than never for us. A little bit late, but hey, we're getting there. We're going to break down the opening two games. We've got a special guest. I'm Scotty. We are the Box Score Breakdown, presented by Hoopball, or a Hoopball presentation, as Dan likes to say. My guest, you can find him on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney, my guest, my co-host. God, I'm already taking over the show. Mr. J, hi.
Mate, jeez, you put me in a bad mood right off the bat. Now I'm going to come after you. Not just in the fantasy leagues where I'm kicking your ass.
Look, it's funny because our guest is also our boss today, and I was a little bit disappointed that I wasn't there to say, hey, look, you need to keep me employed after me missing yesterday, sick to advise. How was the big guy, the guy we call the Godfather, Aaron Brewski?
Mate, it's a top interview, and it's we probably should not take too long and just crack into that because he's not really a man of few words. I did manage to jump in a few places, but God, it's just he's a walking, talking encyclopedia of fantasy basketball and basketball in general. So that will be a great prelude to the box score we'll do at the end. But not just that. Oh, when I was interviewing, it was the middle of the games today, so the first game. So we got to halfway through the first game, which was basically over, wasn't it? So we pretty much did have a chance to run through some of the key bits there. So, yeah, it's good stuff, really good stuff.
All right, so well, let's get into it. Mr. J, Aaron Brewski, the godfather himself of hoopball, check it out. We'll see you on the other side.
Well, welcome to the Box Score Breakdown, Aaron Brewski. We've been calling you the godfather. We're referring to Dan as the podfather of hoopball. It is fantastic to have you here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because I don't want to get it wrong. And secondly, is it true that like Virgil from The Usual Suspects, you walk with a limp?
That's funny. We used to call Pete D'Alessandro, former general manager of the Kings, that guy. But I'll take it because he's mysterious, right? And he runs the show, so I guess that's me. I started in sports like, man, I want to say in like 2000, maybe even like a little bit before that, but never anything serious. I started a couple of websites. I sort of bounced around the industry a little bit, and then I got serious in sort of the business world. Came back to sports in 2007 and started working with NBC and worked over at Roto-World and sort of kind of rose up the ranks there running the fantasy basketball division. And then I actually did some reporting on the Kings for Pro Basketball Talk. So that brought me to starting up Hoopball, and that was kind of seeing what we've kind of seen now where the move to premium, you see companies like The Athletic, our company, other companies in different spaces. You saw this great sort of opening to be able to create high quality content. People are willing to pay for it, and I wanted to sort of migrate away from legacy systems that you would see at companies that are really driven by a TV model. You know, a lot of the sites that are out there are designed to support TV. So, all that came together, and about 5 years ago, we started Hoopball. This year's been wild. We've had just an incredible amount of growth, interest. I was doing this show, the Box Score Breakdown, like 3 years ago, and you're doing it so much better than I used to do it, by the way.
you're way too kind. You're way too kind.
No, because I was, seriously, we're doing 5 million things, and I would get on at the end of the night, and I'm like, 11 games. I'm going to go through every single one of them, and I would just go through them, right? And I was exhausted because, you know, running an entire company. In fact, I used to do all the blurbs here and, pretty much all the writing in the very beginning. And slowly we just added people. Actually, not even slowly. We just kept adding people. It wasn't even slow. Now we're over 100 people, contributors deep. Yeah. It's just wild. So that's a little on me. I probably didn't cover it all, but
it's pretty hard to cover it all. And you've got a kid, and just like me, I have two. But your kid and my latest kid would be going to school in the same year. Mine is called D'Angelo. It wasn't as bad enough being born in 2020. I gave him that Gunner nickname. What about you? Have you taken a risky name with your child, and are you worried about how they're going to turn out being born in 2020?
Skyler is already dunking. So I kind of think a name Skyler Brewski, is skying in for the dunk. I think that's good. So I'll take that. We might move out to Australia. Well, so I don't know.
That was
because it's getting crazy here in the States. So maybe they will go to school together.
That would be awesome to have Skyler Brewski and D'Angelo Jolly in the backcourt together. Hopefully your kid can play a bit of defense, because I'm not sure mine will.
Well, that would be my kid's style. He'll only be able to play defense. He won't be able to shoot. So, yeah, great pairing.
That'd be a good pairing. So I just did a tweet this morning. Let's just jump into picking your brain about stuff, and we'll try and have a bit of fun as well. So I posted up on my tweet, which is my Twitter, which is Mr. Jolly of Sydney, of course, a photograph of my shopping list, a screenshot, which had vegetables, it had nappies times two, and at the bottom I had circled in red, trade for Rashawn Holmes. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later about fixing mistakes that you make. Are you a Rashawn Holmes fan in a few sentences?
Oh, wait. Do you not know the answer to that question?
I'm trying not to give away the Brewski 150 here.
Okay, if you don't know, which would be hilarious, I gotta add. So, I was the Rashawn Holmes guy on the internet for 3 years, at least 3 years. And to the point where, when he got picked up in free agency in Sacramento, I had already told them, I said, look, you guys are stupid if you're not going for this guy. And, you could make all this headway as a team, and he's a top seven or eight center in the league. I threw it all out there. And then they went and got him. The internet in Sacramento exploded because they thought it would never happen, because they never do anything I say. In fact, they do the opposite of what I say all the time. And so they picked him up, and Sacramento just went, whoa, is Brewski feeding them information? How did they figure out Rashawn Holmes in Sacramento? And then, of course, he went on and he had his big year, because of course he did. He's Rashawn Holmes. And, it's really weird because I don't have him on a single team this year.
And why is that? Do you think it's because people who you're playing with listen to your ideas, listen to Dan's ideas, and people with, as we say in Australia, people with half a brain or more?
Here's the problem. I've like I mentioned to you before the show, I've covered the Kings for about, 7 or 8 years now, and they never, ever do anything right, ever. So, when Rashawn was not even really slated to be in the rotation, they thought Dwayne Dedman would be the guy. I just knew that instinctually he would beat Dedman out, and then he would force his way onto the floor, and he would be good. This year, they bring in Hassan Whiteside. Still don't know why they did that. It feels like they're going to mess this up. They kind of have always resisted playing him. And now they got a guy in Hassan Whiteside who's going to do a couple things, block a couple shots, probably have a couple good interior plays every game. And I think it's going to cut into his minutes a little bit. And I also think that during the trade shuffle, whenever they go to the trade deadline and how they go about doing this, they could send him to the worst place he could ever want to go to. it's really, and I guess to long story short with this, I think I got PTSD from the Kings. Like, that's the only thing, because otherwise he looks great in the preseason. He's doing great. He's probably going to outplay, you know, Hassan Whiteside minutes-wise. Everything looked great. I literally did not make this move, aside from the fact that there are a lot of people that were falling to me in the spots that Holmes was getting drafted, like top 50 guys that I just couldn't pass up. There was that thing sort of nagging me in the background, is, are the Kings going to screw this up?
Mm. And that ties in, doesn't it, to this idea of like, when you're drafting, trying to get a balance between drafting guys who are elite on really good teams, or good teams that are going to make, you know, the bottom of the playoffs, versus bad teams who might be out of contention. You don't want too many guys on bad teams who might be rested if they have niggly injuries because they're not competing for anything. That's the worry about Holmes, isn't it? I've got him in a few places. If the Kings are out of contention and he's got a bit of a niggle, they're not going to push his minutes, are they?
They are tanking this season, and they're actually probably going to do things like play Nemanja Bjelica, play Corey Joseph. These guys are just not good at all. But they were Vlade's guys, and they were also Luke Walton's guys. Those two guys came to an agreement and picked those two players to really represent that team and to be the guys that they were going to go to war with. And Walton has basically a half season to coach, you know, for his job this year. So he's going with the guys he's always believed in. And that further pushes Holmes out. And the talk about him, as far as, you know, trade goes, is it's almost like a foregone conclusion that they want to trade him. And so all that uncertainty is just not sitting well with me. But yeah, you're right. Like, if they start tanking, you know, and it's a good draft class from what I hear. I'm not a draft expert, but everybody thinks this is the year to wait for. Then, yeah, you could see him get a, you know, shoulder thing like he got last year, or just some sort of weird thing. And then they say, oh, yeah, we're going to sit you for 3 weeks. Mm. And yeah, so a few different reasons there. You brought up a good name for my first pot hit with you, though.
There you go.
Rashawn. This guy, he's been Mr. Hoopball for 3 years.
I wanted to play dumb a little bit there, because just see if I could get you wound up. Like, who's this guy in Australia doesn't even know who I like?
Dan, that is, you know, it's funny. You did get me a tiny bit there. I knew you knew, but I didn't know you knew.
Scott, shout out to Scott, Scotty Harlander, who's done the first bit. Last show, he says to me, Aaron, if you're not smiling when you're doing this pod, then piss off and get someone else to do it.
Dan had nothing but the best things to say about you guys, and I think I understand why.
Right away. Now, speaking of the best things, look, let's see how if you're smarter than a fourth grader or smarter than a...
let me get the under on that.
If you've got 3/4 of a brain or more, as we say in Sydney, I'm going to read some numbers to you and say, these are the same person I drafted in 5 of my 18 leagues. I'll tell you the number they were drafted and see if you can guess who it is. 17, 22, 27, 30, and 35. And if I said I'm a risk-taking man, who is that?
You know, hey, that's got to be Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, that is Kyrie Irving. Now, what about if I read some more numbers to you and said, in halftime today, which you've probably been watching, he has 24 points, 9 for 13 from the field, 4 for 7 from deep, 2 for 2 from the foul line, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and he hasn't got a steal or a block yet, but he has been getting them. that is, he's on target for a 50 bomb.
You had to see this coming, though, right? Like, national game, they've been taking a lot of crap. Him and KD doing their live shows together, which is kind of sneaky good. Like, I know they were hamming it up for the camera. So, I mean, that's a level of cohesion that we haven't seen out of kind of either guy, really, you know, with their teammates. So, I mean, when they put this team together, I thought, this is one of those things, it's almost so crazy it could work. And, yeah, man, I like, they're going to, a loose Warriors squad with, you know, no real defense on the floor. Watching right now as a back cut, Joe Harris gets to the cup. I mean, it's just been like this all game long, and Kyrie wants to show out. Like, this is good. You should sell him right now.
Here's a good question. Give me some names who you would take back for Kyrie. Like, if I could get end of first round up to mid second round value, would you sell?
I would. I mean, he's so injury prone, and I think this is the year that he performs really, really well. Like, I wouldn't have shied away from Kyrie if he was what fell to me in that range of the draft. Now, I there's almost always going to be a player or two that goes in front of Kyrie for me, because I've always got somebody that, you know, ranked higher that folks aren't really thinking about. But, like, they redshirted him, so to speak, last year for this season. You don't, like, come into this season after doing that and say, I'm just going to, you know, not play as much, or I'm going to let the little injuries get me down. The only thing you're worried about this year for him is the big injury and some weird thing, like he wants to go off and, you know, become an artist. You know, like, he's like, I don't need basketball anymore.
change his name to the sage formerly known as Kyrie Irving.
And how wild was that, man?
That was
awesome.
I know. Some of I think you need narratives, don't you? You need narratives. You need fun. You need villains. I mean, most of us, including ironically, a lot of my mates from the northeast of the US, and I've got a lot of mates from Boston. I'm stumbling to say it because when I think about these guys, so many things come into my mind. I've got heaps of mates who are Boston fans, or they live in New York and they're Boston fans, or they're New England fans, and they're absolute. They're almost, I was going to say a really bad word, they're a-holes, you know. They're like my great mates, but they're absolute a-holes, and they hate Kyrie Irving. But you know what? Deep down, these are guys who grew up watching WWF and WWE. They love a good villain. Why do they hate Kyrie so much? I don't get it. We need people,
you know, why?
Like that.
Because he wasn't fun in Boston.
Yeah, that's true.
He's fun now. I mean, You go to Boston and you throw the sage out there and, like, you're just this weird cat that believes the earth is flat. I mean, that's cool. I kind of dig it with Kyrie, and I almost wonder, like, should he really lean into it and get even more weird, because it'll probably help his game.
The problem is he didn't play, did he? It's like Rodman. People put up with Rodman's crazy antics, but he was still dragging down 15, 18 boards a night and blocking shots and playing for those teams where he turned up with a crazy look, right? So he's loved where he played as opposed to Kyrie. Hated.
That's the problem. Mm. Yeah. Because he hasn't. I mean, what's weird, we're going to say this about a guy who's like, he hasn't won, but he went into game seven.
Yeah.
With Cleveland and put together one of the best performances in NBA history in that game. That's the type of stuff that you talk about glowingly. Other than that, you take that away and it's been a lot of losing. So I want them to add Harden, man. Just throw them together. Let's get weird.
It would be amazing.
Yeah, you're in a decent spot there. I would say, though, to answer your question, that if I do get a bona fide top 15 guy that's got no risks, I'm going to make that move.
Mm. So, for example, if I could get Paul George, do it.
Yeah. That's probably the toughest one right there, because I don't think a lot of people agree that he's a top 15 guy. I do. I think he's right on the dot 15. But he's got issues of his own. But he also has a lot to prove this year. There's a lot of guys that are in that bucket. We'll add Pascal Siakam to that bucket that got embarrassed in some way, shape, or form. And this is the year that they're going to come back and perform.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I chose him on purpose because they're obviously easier ones. I mean, if I could get Trae Young or somebody a bit earlier that maybe is occasionally going at the end of the first, I would do it. I would do it. But the other person probably doesn't do it. Whereas PG, I've got him in a couple of drafts at 17 or 18 even, or 19. So he's someone that I could definitely get back.
I could see that trade like popping in your inbox right now.
There you go.
But the other ones, no. You're right.
Yeah. So what about other guys today? So Kevin Durant, of course, so far he has 12 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 1 for 1 from deep, 5 for 11 from the field, and he's 100% from the foul line on 1 for 1. He's another person. I think I've just got two of him. The Achilles scared me off a bit more, and there were other people. Ironically, more people willing to take a risk on a man coming back from Achilles than on Kyrie.
And I think that's the high end gear of Durant's fantasy game kicking in, and also, you know, I guess some, you know, the way that obviously Kevin Durant's better than Kyrie, but he's been portrayed as a winner, you know, as a finals MVP, even though he didn't deserve it. he's got that pedigree. So I think when I saw KD for his first preseason game, I said, okay, we got to bump this guy up, because he was getting after it physically in a way. Like, I think we're already seeing a little bit of this, but we're going to see stories of, like, the Achilles injury is not the death knell that it used to be. And he got in there first preseason game, and he was initiating contact aggressively against bigger players and the kind of stuff that people who are scared about injuries that they don't do. So that told me he's ready, and I almost think he's ready to the extent that the back-to-back thing might not be as big a deal as it might have seemed heading into the season. So, he went, I thought, in the right spot in drafts, like right around, like early we was going in like 8, 9, and then a little bit more conservatively he was going at like 13, 14. And I think that's the right kind of place for him.
Now, what about, well, let's hit one more name on the Brooklyn Nets side. How about Caris LeVert? He was explosive in the first half and looks like, if I go for a first game overreaction, potentially a sixth man of the year contestant if he keeps this up.
Well, I mean, if he is still on the team, and I kind of think that Dinwiddie's the guy that might get shuttled off because he's got a friendly contract, but if he stays, yeah, he's going to be at least in contention. And he puts up the kinds of numbers that voters really value, the points, the rebounds, the assists. And I love the kid. He's so talented, and he's got such a great head on his shoulders. Like, everybody in the league raves about him. So if anybody can pull it off, it's him. The one thing I think that might hold him back is his role won't be the same every night. They will have, they got their four scorers. Three of them will be good. One of them will not be good. Chances are it's not going to be Kevin Durant or Kyrie, and that will oscillate between Dinwiddie and LeVert. That might keep his numbers down, and you could see somebody like Lou Williams or, insert Montrezl Harrell. I mean, he's going to be rejuvenated this year, and they're going to give him a ton of run in L.A., trying to keep the big guys fresh. So, yeah, I'll take it, but I don't know that it's a favorite at this point.
Now, before we look at the Golden State Warriors side of things, I want to talk about something which is the Bruce letter. And again, instead of me doing a clumsy read and just begging people, demanding people, and telling people they're absolutely insane for not having it, why should people subscribe to the Bruce letter?
Time to sell myself. It's so, when you look for analysis, like, when I would write at RotoWorld, I would write these big 10,000 word articles. My editors would hate them, because they said they were too long. And then we asked everybody, we said, hey, do you guys like them? And they said, yeah, please, more. So when I decided to start writing again here, because there's so many things I got to do here for the site, basically I was like, I want to do it like I did it before. And the reason is because, we're competitively playing this game. And say you got 11 games on a whatever night, the chessboard changed for all 11 games, for all 11 teams or 22 teams, or maybe even the entire league when you consider off day news. So this newsletter, it hits every team. It hits basically general NBA stuff. I cover the Kings. I put my Kings coverage in there this last year. I'll probably lighten that up a little bit this year. Even had a section on like life and stuff. I was feeling all like, gotta talk about life. So I threw a section on that. So these things are topping off at about 8,000, 9,000 words. But if your interest was strictly fantasy sports, you could skip about the part about my life. You could skip the part about the NBA at large. And you could just get right into fantasy stuff. And what we're going to do is we're just going to bring you up to a pro grade. The things that you need to know that happened either in that, say, the last 24 hours or even just broader. Like, what is the big pin to pull out of each of these team situations? And I mean, if you're not picking up 5 to 10 new insights that you haven't got somewhere else, in that newsletter, I'd be shocked because there's just so many words in it. So I if I'm playing, I would want to read that. I know I'm talking about myself, but I've done this with other experts in the past, like football, Evan Silva, Adam Levitan over at Establish the Run. Like, those guys were my Bible. I would read that, take that all in, read about the matchups, and I would go and win all my fantasy football leagues, even though I was not, you know, really as engaged in fantasy football as I was previously. So whether you are engaged or you just want to augment what you're already doing there, you know, it's free and it's literally the only place that I write. So if you want my insights in a written form, I'll be doing lots of pod work and things like that this year. But it's just a down and dirty thing where we just figure everything out.
It's really great stuff, and it is a good long read in an era where it's sometimes hard to find a good long read, and you can find that at bit.ly/bruseletter, B-R-E-W-S, letter 2021. That's bit.ly/bruseletter2021. Aaron Bruschi, straight to your inbox. That will be one to enjoy. Let's have a look at the Golden State Warriors side of things. It's not quite as impressive, is it, so far, with the exception of Steph Curry, 16 points, 5 assists, 1 steal, 2 for 7 from deep, 6 for 15. One of the things we were looking at with Steph Curry was just, is his field goal percentage going to drop off a little bit without his partner in crime, the other Splash Brother, around to attract some of the defense?
Yeah, it's a concern. But, you know, I think this team, once they kind of figure out the Oubre Wiggins thing is going to be weird because, you know, both players are so limited in what they do. Wiggins, though, I thought he had a good preseason. I thought he played some aggressive, decisive basketball. So that's a good sign because his game has generally been a little bit it's lacked versatility. But they've got to figure out how to play this motion offense with the split cuts and a lot of the Draymond Green stuff. And Green is really the key. If you wanted to measure Curry's field goal percentage, I think you would almost want to focus on Draymond Green. Is he shooting the basketball? Because if he's not shooting the basketball, he loses X amount of units of efficiency, whether you're measuring it in field goal percentage or just overall offensive success for the team. But he came into camp really thin. And I think this team is tired of not being on the championship level. I think that they realize that the clock is ticking fast in NBA years, that they don't necessarily need to win it all this year, or that they're not even thinking of that. That was poor phrasing on my part. They're not even thinking about that, but they need to make the playoffs and they need to overperform to continue sort of the tradition of the Golden State Warriors to be able to attract the free agents that they want to be able to attract and make the moves that they want to make in the new arena and just with that organization pivoted the way that they have. I mean, they dumped a ton of money into that arena, not to be eighth place. They did it to be champions. So I think organizationally that they've really come into this season ready. If Green comes in and he can run that offense and be a threat to drive and a threat to shoot, I think Curry's probably only going to have like a percent or two erosion from what you might expect with Klay Thompson in there. Now, if that doesn't happen or they suffer like more than one major injury, then I think you start to see 3-4%, you know, slips from Curry's field goal percentage. And then that takes away from that upside where he's literally the only player in the league that can compete with James Harden. Like, I don't even think Kevin Durant can do it in terms of that gear that you've never seen before. Mm. The year that Steph really put the half-court shot into fashion, he shot, I forget what percentage, but it was absurd. And he was by and far, nobody was even close to him in fantasy leagues. He's got that gear. If he can pull all that together, he'll be in that neighborhood, but not if Draymond's not playing well.
Mm. Now, Kelly Oubre's having a bit of a stinker. He's somebody we might talk about the next time you come on. Wiggins, those guys, those wing guys are interesting. But what about James Wiseman getting the start today? He has 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals in the first half, 3 for 5 from the field. People who grabbed him in the 70 or 80 or 90 range might be feeling quite pleased with themselves.
Yeah, I think they should feel okay. Like, I think... like, he looks a little deer in headlights, deer in headlightish right now, which is to be expected. His first NBA game, no preseason, no summer league. I mean, the fact that he's even functional out there is actually a little bit of a miracle. But yeah, no, they've committed to him. They're going to start him. I think they're probably going to handle him at about 25 minutes a game. And then from there, it's just about can he get timing. And what you'll see, I think, is probably at about the 2 to 3 week mark, he will start to have games where he is one of the most successful players on the court because the defense is selling out on Steph and they're selling out on these other guys. And then he's the guy that gets the easy shots as a result of it. And then those guys that picked him up at 70 and 80 will feel better. But otherwise, if you're looking at the production, if you're going to, you know, the fantasy pass and you're looking at what are the ranks for the year, I think he's going to be a little under. And, you know, that's okay because as long as he doesn't get hurt, you know, I think that number 70 pick is going to return about top 80 to 100 value sort of at a minimum. So, yeah, it's you feel good, but maybe get those engines ready for about 3 to 4 weeks from now.
And I was going to ask you about Marquese Chriss, but instead of doing that, because time is a bit tight, we're getting towards the end of the interview now. I've already kept you for longer than I promised. Why don't we talk about the Fantasy Pass and the Discord? I was saying to you before we started recording that it is amazing. I've never been happier to have my phone blowing up with notifications than I am right now because I don't have to follow everything that's going on because I can have a look at those notifications about, you know, who's going off, people asking questions about who they should start or sit, other kinds of things. Tell us a little bit about the Fantasy Pass and also about the Discord and why it is so good.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the crazy part is, like, I'm not even a Discord guy yet. Like, I've got the account, but I haven't even looked at it, right? And it's just we got so many things going on here. All I hear is greatness. And what it seems to me that it is, it's like Twitter, but really hyper-focused on everything we want to talk about, not everything everybody else wants to talk about. And to your point about like competitive advantage, like you're going to get in that thing and you're going to know everything way before your competition does. And you're getting your information from the best fantasy players in the industry. So I'm excited about just that one little piece. And I think we really underpriced our product and I can't tell you that it's going to last forever because it won't. And get it while it's good, you know, get it while it's really nice and cheap. It's one of the best deals that you're going to get in fantasy. And that's just one little aspect of it. The Fantasy Pass has a comprehensive, basically pregame, during the game, after the game, look back stuff where we're not just living in the moment. We're going to take a look and look at different segments weekly, monthly, and then tools. We have tools that are not just the tools we have right now, but the stuff that's behind the curtain that is under development and testing that I'm extremely excited about. That I'll probably be talking about in an hour here when we do our tech team meeting. It's something new every day, every week. So get in there, get covered up, and man, especially if you're doing DFS, those guys are just rocking. And you know what they're charging elsewhere in the industry is it's a lot more than what we're charging right now. If you can't tell, I'm a little upset about what we're charging.
There you go. Well, that's a good sign. When a business person is upset because their price is too low, that's the best time to jump in and get involved.
Yeah, ask Dan about that. We have this conversation every day. I'm like, we're too cheap. bump it up.
So before D'Angelo busts down my door, young D'Angelo, and wants to go and slam dunk on a few 2 feet rings, I've got three very quick hits for you. One, I'm currently already planning to fix a few drafts that I did not do with the Brewski 150. I decided to test myself out. You know, I didn't use the projections or the roto balance on a few drafts, and a couple of them turned out pretty badly. So what are your tips for people about when they start trying to fix a draft that doesn't look that good?
Man, you got to do it early and often. And that's the toughest part is you get attached to a pick and then you want to see it through. And then something happens and you're like, oh, just do it a little bit longer. And you go through fantasy is really about knowing when to cut bait with your bad decisions. And I mean, that happens to everybody. It's not just you. It's me. I like have taught myself cut bait. And so you're measuring that out. So I think you really want to look in the first 3 weeks of the season and recognize that what you're seeing, in week one, it could be an overreaction. In week two, it could be an overreaction. But by week three, it's practically, there's like no chance that it's an overreaction. So you want to be aggressive on the waiver wire. If you have fab budgets, if you've got, you know, trades that you're considering, I mean, there's probably about 20 things each year that there's like no way you could even predict. Like, it's just too weird. It's too off the wall, and somebody got really good over the off season and nobody knew it. So just be you know, it's obviously player specific, but like, you know, you just got to get in there. I think you got to cut bait with bad choices as early as possible.
What about general tips for new players? I mentioned before we started recording about often there's a lot of year two players who segue over from points leagues into Cats leagues. That's maybe, let's just keep it specific. And what's your advice to people that are playing Cats leagues maybe for the first time?
Yeah, you know, get good at measuring the categories, like the steals and the blocks. You know, that's the first thing that comes to mind because they're not really a factor in points leagues. So the some people will overreact to that and they'll just sell out to get those things because like, I just got to have those things. I don't know about them and they seem important, so I'll go get them. And then the others are like, oh, I still think 30 points with nothing else is really great. And they're slow on that side. So get good at measuring the categories. We have tools on the site to help you with that. But that's number one. And then just category weights. And not the obvious ones. Like free throw percentage is obvious. Like, you know, a high volume, bad free throw shooter is going to have way less value in a category league than in a points league. But field goal percentage, like, knowing where you're getting your points from, or are they good points or are they bad points, is really what it boils down to. So look for efficiency in your players. And when you see a stat line that's really, really kind of small and muted, but those efficiencies are there, and the stats that we call money counting stats, the threes, the points, the threes, the steals, and the blocks, a really quiet line with those things there, that's probably where people are not looking to get that next pickup.
Yes, that is very good advice. And for more advice like this, don't forget to subscribe to the Ultimate Hoopball Experience, the 360, which is the Fantasy Pass, the DFS Pass, the Wager Pass, all that stuff together. If you don't do DFS and you're not a wager person, then you can get the Fantasy Pass as well. All these things you can find at hoop-ball.com. It's been absolute joy to do this with you, Mr. Brewski, and will I be able to get you back on?
Yeah, yeah. You just hit me up, and I'd love to come on with you guys. Like I said, I used to do the show, so I feel like, you know, a kinship with it. I want to see it do really well. And again, I don't know. Dan's been talking to you guys like are the greatest thing since sliced bread. So this is the first time I've talked with you. So it's very nice to meet you, and I'm just excited to see where you guys take this.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks for letting us hold the baby. And now you go off and take care of your baby, and I'll take care of mine. D'Angelo and Skylar in the backcourt, rocking the courts of inner Western Sydney.
2039 or whatever it is.
There you go. We've got to get you out of here. take care, Mr. Brewski. It's been fantastic.
All righty, guys.
Good on you.
MyBookie.ag, one of the reasons that we're live on your, well, not exactly live, pre-recorded on whatever it is that you're listening to us on. And they help us keep coming to you. And those guys, awesome to gamble, have a flutter with. So now is the time to get some skin in the game with mybookie.ag, where odds boost, lightning deals, and free bets await all season long. And with the NFL playoffs right around the corner, we know who these teams are. We know what they're capable of. And it's not difficult to find some value in these lines. Whether you're a first-time customer or been playing MyBookie for years, there is no shortage of value to be found in the thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, and contests that they offer every week. Sign up or get reloaded today, find an edge, make your bet, and get paid. They also boast a fully-fledged casino platform, giving you access to classic table slots and card games you'd expect to find at your local spot. And the best part is, at MyBookie, the doors never close, so you continue to build your bankroll even after the stadium lights have turned off. Make the right play and sign up to MyBookie today. And when you do, use the promo code HOOPBALL to get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put in $200 and they'll match it with another $100 in your account. If you're already planning to bet this season, this is free betting money. It's winning season at MyBookie, so come in and join the fun. Win some cash while you're at it. Mr. J, mate, we are here at the box scores. Finally tip off the first game. The Dubs, the Warriors, they went to the Brooklyn Nets and got smashed, 99-25. Well, look, where do we start here? They were very disappointing. They've thrown massive amounts of cash into their stadium, as Brewski mentioned. Look, it wasn't a great start. It was a bit brutal, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably the only good thing was that it wasn't in that stadium, although even without fans, it would have been a pretty brutal or tragic way to start the season. They have, like, you know, pumped into, like, going for it again this season, obviously, despite the injury to Clay with some of the moves they've made. And, yeah, very, very disappointing. I reckon they need Draymond Green in there firing to have a chance and shooting. And this is what Brewski mentioned earlier in the show too, like shooting and actually hitting some threes and stuff, because without Clay, it's pretty clear today. Steph had an amazing half. First half was brilliant, but that percentage is just down. And overall, yeah, very disappointing.
So let's start with the Nets, because the story of the day was very much Kyrie and KD blowing the Dubs away pretty early. So let's start with Kyrie, 25 minutes, which might seem a little bit short, but I think they got the hook pretty early. 26 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 10 from 16 from the field. So that's 62.5%, 4 from 7 at 57% from deep, 2 from 2 from the line, and a plus 32. And then KD, 25 minutes, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals and a block, 7 from 16 from the floor at 43.8%, 1 from 2 from deep, and 7 from 7 from the line for a plus 26. Let's start KD and Kyrie.
I just want to read a quote for you. The box scores speak for themselves. This is all I've got to say. This is what Kyrie Irving did today. They presented Steve Nash with a game ball for his first winning game, and Kyrie said, "This is the start of something new today. I'm grateful to have you as the head coach of our team, as our coach, and I would go to war for you any day, Steve Nash." that is a real quote from Steve Nash, who said it was a good performance and the guys played hard. If Kyrie does this throughout the season, then those 5 Kyries have got return me first round value, and I'll be very happy. But let's see.
Here's a out of left field question. Steve Nash, coach of the year?
Well, if they make, if they finish in the top 2 in the Eastern Conference, why not? And as for KD, that was again very, very positive. Let's see 5 or 10 games, but it will be something we'll be following.
And I've got to play you in our sleeper dynasty league, don't I? Where you've got Harden, Kyrie, and KD all in the one team.
Yeah, well, that's the definition of win now, that team, isn't it? So good luck, mate.
Yeah, thanks, bastard. Yeah,
win now. Scotty will lose now.
Yeah. Look, who else are we going to have a look at? DeAndre Jordan and Jared Allen. So DeAndre Jordan today, 17 minutes, 4 points, 11 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 from 3 from the floor, didn't attempt a shot from deep and missed his only 2 shots from the line. Jared Allen, 19 minutes, 8.7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 2 from 3 from the field, didn't try 1 from deep, and 4 from 5 from the line. DeAndre looked a solid bet for relanders, but Allen, is he definitely a number 2, and is it close?
It's not close at all, and, you know, he might end up on the waiver wire. He's a hold if you draft him, and people spent probably pretty high draft capital. Even given the warnings, people are still drafting him 70 or 80 and 90, but we need to see a full game without garbage time to see how it goes. And DeAndre is obviously an injury risk, but it's pretty clear that it's not even close. And DeAndre was the better one to get, and he's the one I have. I don't have any Jared Allen. And I even traded him away in Dynasty League for, I think it was for Grant Williams from the Celtics. And people said, "You're mad," but I don't think I am. It's going to be a while before he has value unless DeAndre gets hurt.
And DeAndre Jordan, not, as I said, solid bet for rebounds, but field goal percentage as well, as Dan said in his tweet storm today at the end of the day. Of course, you can see our podfather. He is the host of NBA Fantasy NBA Today. You can contact him on Twitter as well, at Dan Bespris, or Google Dan from Hoopball. Anything else to say about Jordan, Mr. J?
Well, just like if he might be sitting on your waiver wire, depending on how competitive your league is, or, you know, if you've got him, then hold on to him and be happy, I think. You could consider at some point a sell high on him if you think that later in the season, Allen is going to take over, but that's pretty doubtful, I reckon.
Caris LeVert, almost 25 minutes, 20 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 6 from 17 at only 35% from the floor, 3 from 5 at 60% from deep, 5 from 6 from the line at a plus 18. Caris LeVert, 6th man of the year, do you think?
He'll also stink up your field goal percentage. He and Dinwiddie were both terrible last season, but maybe he's a sell high or a hold and see guy, but sell high if you can.
And speaking of Dinwiddie, a bit quiet today, almost 20 minutes, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 from 6 from the floor, 1 from 3 from deep, 100% from the line though. Look, he's going to have some quiet games, do you think?
He will definitely have some quiet games. He'll be a very frustrating guy to own, and I don't own any of him. That's probably foolish because I should have got him as a handcuff for Kyrie. I might wait for him to get dropped to the waiver wire, and then I'll go and scoop him up for free.
And Joe Harris, 20 minutes, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 block, 50% from the floor, 4 from 8. He got 2 from deep, though. Joe Harris, mate, hit threes. That's pretty much the only reason you're going to have him, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Like, move on. If you get Joe Harris at the end or Seth Curry, those kind of guys, you want them to get threes for, you got 2.
Beautiful. All right, let's go into the Golden State Warriors. You talked about Steph earlier. He didn't play much after halftime. That's probably because the game, got away from them. But Steph's line, 30 minutes, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 10 assists in a double-double, 2 steals. He got 7 from 21 from the floor in a 33% clip, only 2 from 10 at 20% from deep. Mate, that was pretty bad, but that is Steph. Look, and maybe his field goal percentage will drop a little, but let's look at Kelly Oubre instead, shall we? And Kelly Oubre at 25 minutes, 6 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 3 out of 14 at 21% from the floor and 0 from 6 from deep. Ooh, that's a bit terrible. Kelly Oubre, mate.
Yeah, he smoked your field goal percentage. And I have a couple of Kelly Oubres. You know, I love my MacGyver guys. I love my Oubres and Morocco's and the McCall Bridges, those kind of guys, Marcus Smart. And because they get those defensive cats for you. And also, normally, they have pretty good field goal percentage. But Oubre is going to have higher volume. And that's something that I didn't factor in, I think, where I took him in a couple of things that I had him as a plus on field goal percentage, but with the extra usage and, you know, not playing with CP3, I don't know, maybe his field goal percentage drops off. That was brutal today. And I'm behind in a couple of Cats leagues where he's just smoked my field goal percentage already. So we'll see how it goes.
And James Wiseman, the number 2 selection rookie from this year, the big fellow was 24 minutes, 19.6 rebounds, 2 steals. He shot 7 from 13 from the floor at 53%, 1 from 1 from deep, and 4 from 8 from the line. Oh, mate, James Wiseman can't shoot 3 throws.
Yeah, well, we'll need to see a little bit more. I mean, he's not the only big man in the NBA who can't shoot 3 throws. I don't think that's really a huge big deal. Look at Bam's 3 throws are terrible. Drummond's are terrible. This was a really good performance to start. He looked a little bit deer in the headlights, as Bruschi said in the interview in the beginning, and he did cook in garbage time. But if you drafted James Wiseman in rookie drafts or you picked him for Dynasty or you picked him up towards the end of redraft, I reckon you're pretty happy based on what you saw today.
And Andrew Wiggins, 31 minutes, 13 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 4 from 16 from the floor at 25%, 2 from 6 at 33% from deep, and 3 from 4 from the line. He was bad. Can he be a part of winning basketball or winning fantasy basketball for that matter?
No. And no. No. I mean, we basically probably saw his zenith. Like, there was a period in the beginning of last season when Cat was out where he was just electric, amazing. And he was like top 20, top 30 value for that period. And then something happened. I think someone passed away or something happened in his family, you know, RIP to whoever that person was. And he didn't play some games because of grief leave. after he came back, he went back to being average again, and today just shows what he can do. He's going to have some absolute shocking games. He'll be really inconsistent, and he's probably going to be a frustrating own.
And Eric Paschal, 21 minutes, 6 points, 1 rebound, 1 block, 2 from 6 from the floor, 1 from 1 from deep, and 1 from 2 from the line. Any streaming value?
And only until Draymond comes back, and then it's gone.
All right, let's have a quick chat about our friends at Manscaped. And listen up, fellas, because today we have a new Manscaped product alert. Manscaped just released the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. Take a look in the mirror. I guarantee you'll see hair sticking out of every hole. Not just those holes, but every hole. And it's time to keep your ear and nose hair looking as nice and clean as your pubic hair does, if you do that kind of thing. So Manscaped forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Their premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual blade system. It's intelligently contoured, designs, enhances the trimming experience, and it's waterproof, which makes for easy operation and cleaning. The only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium ion battery that lasts up to 90 minutes of use. And if you're using 90 minutes in one go, Mr. J,
you've got a nose even bigger than mine, which is
that's
huge.
A nose. Have you ever pulled your nose hairs out with your fingers? Whew. That, I reckon that hurts worse than nicking your balls. So, look, do yourself a favor. Get on there, Manscaped. You will get a replaceable blade every 3 months to keep everything enjoyable. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine to the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping our pubes trimmed and our hairs in our holes looking nice. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code HOOPBALL20. What are you waiting for? Go and whack your weeds. Let's look at the second and final game for today. The Clippers got it over the Lakers like they did last year, 116-109. Mate, a bit of revenge though, even though the Lakers kind of didn't really, you know, show much at the start of last season, but they kicked butt at the end of the season. Clippers revenge for, you know, something that everyone thought they'd be a bit closer at a ring last year.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Probably it's not much revenge, is it, the first game of the season. But we did talk about when we had Brandon Marcus from the Clippers pod on about how this could be a big year for the Clippers. And you saw today that looked like they had a bit of a point to prove. I think we're going to talk about Lakers first, though, aren't we?
Yeah, mate. So LeBron James and Anthony Davis, both good. Minutes were down a little bit, only 28 minutes for LBJ after hurting his ankle. He's questionable for Dallas on Friday, though. So LeBron, 28 minutes, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 from 17 from the floor, 3 from 8 from deep, and 5 from 7 from the line. And then we have AD, the man, almost 31 minutes, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 8 from 15 from the floor, none from 2 from deep, and 2 from 2 from the line. What have you got to tell us about LBJ and AD, Mr. J?
Nothing, except we just keep watching their minutes and watching their rest. They're both, you know, AD's top three and LeBron is first round value if they play enough. We just need to see.
And Montrezl Harrell, you've got him in a few points leagues, right, Mr. J?
I do have him in a few points leagues. I wish I had him in a couple of Cats leagues today as well after the way he went off today. I think I got him in one Cats league. He's one of those guys that was like after all the premium centers and top mid-round guys were gone, like after Rashawn Holmes, he was the next good guy. You got sort of Steven Adams and him. And I reckon if you took him instead of Steven Adams, you might be feeling pretty good today.
And Trez double-double today, 32 minutes, 17 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 block, 6 from 7 from the floor, didn't try one from deep and 5 from 7 from the line. Mate, He looks like he's going to be decent value and worth maybe another crack at six man of the year yet again on the Lakers.
Yeah, we could be. And if he plays 32 minutes a night like he did tonight, or when LeBron and AD are out, I mean, in Roto, he's probably going to push top 50 in Roto. And, you know, if you've got him in a head-to-head league and you just get lucky in the week, he's going to be a monster. Like he had him in a points league last season, and he was top 35 for the first half of the season. Good stuff.
And a guy who I was a little bit concerned about moving to the Lakers, Dennis Schroeder. He did 27 minutes, 14 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 from 15 from the floor, 2 from 5 from deep, and 2 from 4 from the line. Dennis Schroeder was near a triple-double today, Mr. J.
Yeah, well, shout out to Neil James Mulholland. He's not an escaped criminal. He's actually Nate the Great from Eli Ross's Lambia Cheap Shot League, who shared Schroeder's. That's a hard one to say. He and she said
Shared Schroeder's, yeah.
Shared Schroeder's stat line and said, look at this man's stat line. And, and I tell you what, it was very exciting, apart from the field goal percentage. And I replied on the Facebook post, look, crazy good. Looks like a triple-double threat. His shooting today was a bit rough, though, unlike last season in OKC, when he was incredible from the field and the foul line, way above his career averages on those. I just wonder how it shakes out this season. If he hits last season's percentages while filling all those other boxes, he's a top 30 guy, top 35.
Yeah, very true. Could have easily have had 20-12-8 today.
Yeah, I mean, that's third-round value.
And THT was a bit quiet today, mate. He at least he's a part of the rotation, which was, you know, a question that everyone had. Played almost 11 minutes, got 6 points, one rebound, one steal, 2 from 2 from the floor, didn't try one from deep, and got to the foul line and shot 2 from 2. THT, do you think you can drop someone and stream him? Do you think you should go and pick him up? What's his fantasy value kind of look like, Mr. J?
I think you misunderstood my note on that. It's the other way around. Drop him. Drop him like a stone in the ocean. If you wasted a pick on THT, look, maybe you can wait one more, but he's not going to have fantasy value this season. There you go.
And, of course, we will go and check out the Clippers. Paul George was the man of the day for the Clippers. Let me get the box score up. 35 minutes for PG-13, 33 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 13 from 18 from the floor, 5 from 8 from deep, and 2 from 2 from the foul line. Woo! PG-13 is back, baby.
I took him in 3 drafts in the last 72 hours, and all I can say is, yeah!
And Kawhi Leonard, of course, 34 minutes on the dot today. You don't see that very often. 26 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals to go with that. 10 from 26 from the floor, so he shot a ton. 1 from 8 from deep. So he shot a ton and missed from deep, and then 5 from 5 from the line. Kawhi, thoughts?
Yeah, just same as LBJ and AD, and to a lesser extent PG. We just need to see what the minutes are like in games where he's not playing against real top teams, and what happens when they blow people away, which they will do, how his minutes and his rest and stuff goes. But, you know, he's a first-round guy.
And this next guy I want to mention, I really want to put this like a deep voice on that goes, Zubac! Almost clipped out then. That's what I feel like doing. It's just crazy. Played 26 minutes. Seemed like the new coach likes him a little more than the old one. He got 26 minutes, 11 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, shot 4 from 5 from the floor, didn't try 1 from deep, and 3 from 4 from the foul line. Zubac.
Yeah, well, you'd hope he could push those rebounds up a bit closer to maybe 10. If Ibaka got 6, Batum got 6. They pinched a few rebounds from him. But, yeah, if he's getting those kind of minutes, 26 minutes a night, then he's very interesting as a late-round guy. And if you've got him, you don't. Well, if you haven't, go and have a look on your waiver wire and see if he's there, because he's worth hanging on to for a bit. Serge had 20 minutes and he had 26 today. It'd be interesting to see how that shakes out in other games too, because he had more minutes than Nabarka.
And we will run over a couple of other ones. Pat Beverley, 22 minutes, 10 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 from 9 from the floor, 2 from 5 from deep. Luke Kennard, he also had a bit of time on the floor. 21 minutes, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Nice. It fills up most of them except for the blocked shots, but we don't expect that from Luke Kennard. 2 from 6 from the floor, 0 from 3 from deep, though, so he wasn't knocking them down. And everyone's favourite six man, Lou Will, he got almost 26 minutes, 11 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 from 9 from the floor, 2 from 4 from deep, and only 1 from 3 from the foul line. They're only going to be streamers, aren't they, Mr. J?
Mate, that was a big, very dulcet tones build up to just saying these three are worthless. And they probably pretty much are. I stream Pat Bev in a few leagues this week in weekly streaming, in weekly leagues, which streaming, by the way, for people who don't know, and there's a few people maybe new to fantasy basketball or relatively new to Cats leagues and listening. Streaming is where you have guys at the bottom of your roster who are not valuable enough that you absolutely have to keep them. So you drop them to the waiver wire and replace them with somebody else. But, you know, if you do that on a regular basis, you can stream in, you know, two or three people every week. In weekly leagues, you look at which guys have the most games in that week and you stream them in. So I streamed him in to get 3 games from Pat Bev. And, you know, I'm going to get better value from him than maybe 2 games of even Tyler Herro, depending on what categories I'm going for. But overall, those 3 guys, Pat Bev, Kennard and Lou Will, they'll be off and on waiver wire all season. Lou will be more because people love him for his chicken wing, you know, goodness, and all his six man. He can light it up, but they're going to be very frustrating. The only 4 guys on the Clippers who are worth owning are PG, Kawhi, Ibaka, and maybe Zubats. The others are all, those 3 are just going to be streamers.
And speaking of Ibaka, 20 minutes, 15.6 rebounds, 1 block, 5 from 7 from the floor, 2 from 3 from deep and 3 from 5 from the foul line. He's definitely the 4th guy. A 12-team hold value. Bit decent today, Mr. J?
Yeah, he's the 3rd guy and he does have value, probably more than Zubats because he hits those 3s.
So a full slate of games tomorrow. Hawks and my Bulls, the Hornets, Cavs, there's a ton of games. We will go through them tomorrow. But before we do, a couple of streamers you want to talk about, Mr. J?
I'll just throw a few at you before my time is up here. I'll go Charlotte, Miles Bridges is only 50% owned on Yahoo. Terry Rozier, 66% owned. He might be on your waiver wire. Have a look. PJ Washington, if you're in a league with people with no brain, he's only 71% owned. Someone who will be available in most leagues on the Cavs is Darius Garland, 38%. If you're not afraid of his shooting percentages, let's see what happens to him. Isaac Okoro is available in 82% of leagues. For New York Knicks, Alfred Payton is available in 50% of leagues. He is probably the best assists streamer out there. For Miami, Goran Dragic, and Terry Ross is available in 61% of leagues. Now, remember, tomorrow there's 10 games. So if you're in daily leagues, you're only streaming these guys if you've got injuries amongst your main guys or you're not happy with their matchups or whatever, because it's not a low game day. So you're not needing to stream people to fill up. But some of these guys might be better than some of the stuff that you drafted.
All right. Thanks for joining me, Mr. J. You're out of here and I'm out of here. Look, Mr. J, you're away tomorrow, aren't you?
I am away. So, yeah, have fun, mate. Knock yourself out.
Massive slate of games. Joining me, Hoopball's Adam King. We just got the confirmation, so he will be joining us. Another All Aussie show. We look forward to that one. So everyone, thanks for tuning in. That is the Box Score Breakdown. I'm super excited. The games are underway. I'm Scotty. You can find me on Twitter at TheHarlander23. My co-host, Mr. J, you can find him on Twitter at Mr. Jolly of Sydney. Whole ton of games tomorrow. I look forward to it. Peace out.
Peace out. Keep rocking.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.